Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, there's more on the Donegal Senior and Junior Football Finals. We'll hear from the St Unions, Niamh Connell, Letterkenny Gaels and Cairn Donagh clubs. Plus, Gary McDade gives us the neutral take. And Brian Brogan and Rory Kennedy will also be joining us later in the show as we look ahead to Saturday's Donegal Harvest Stages Rally, which is based out of Gortahark. But first up, it is football. And the last Northwest Derby of the season takes place tomorrow night, Friday, at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Finn Harps go into the game against Derry City, looking to move from the automatic relegation zone, while the hosts Candy Stripes are still chasing leader Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table. Another big game for Harps, and they don't come much bigger than the Northwest Derby. Former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle was speaking to me earlier today in the lead-up to the big Derby fixture.
I suppose, Declan, before we look ahead to the Derby, a point for Finn Harps last week against Shelburne in the previous game. And at this stage of the season, we've seen how precious that point was moving them off the bottom of the table. It's a case of every point is as precious as you go along as these games tick down now towards the end of the campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important to pick up points, you know, at least not lose. If you can pick up a draw, you just never know how things will go with UCD and who they're playing and how the results go there. So it's important to pick up a draw. I was obviously in Finn Park last week. The performance, first half performance by both teams was poor. Standard was poor in the first half, poor game. But it was important to get away with a point, and especially after UCD losing 1-0 up in Dublin as well. It was a big point then. So obviously that brings us straight forward to the North West Derby. So every point's important. If we can get 3 points somewhere very close to try to put up a bit of distance and put extra pressure on UCD, and the quicker we can do that, the better.
The Harps, it's fair to say, if they're going to even get a point in the Brandywell on Friday night, they're going to have a better performance than they did against Shells.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Shelburne performance dug it out in the end, and as I said earlier, the first half performance was really poor. Don't look like scoring too many goals, and Eric McWood's coming off as well injured. Makes it very difficult. The Brandywell and Derry City are going. The Brandywell is a difficult place to go, but Derry City are flying high, 5 points behind Shamrock Rovers. Semi-final of the FAI Cup as well, and I would say it'll be rocking on Friday night with a big crowd, big atmosphere, and they are flying high, and it's very hard to see Harps coming up and getting anything out of that game.
Yeah, well, it's a game that people won't give Harps much of a chance in, but like in recent times, the games between these two sides have been tight, be it at the Brandywell or be it at Finn Park, Declan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they're going to be tight. They're absolutely going to be tight. And the last time we were in the Brandywell, we ended up 2-2 and probably should have got 3 points. Owen Toll came up with a last-minute header in the 19th minute to snatch a draw, and it should have been 3 points for Finn Harps. So, and the performance is up in the Brandywell by Harps in the last while under Ollie has been good, and we picked up draws where we probably picked up ones there as well. But for me, this is a different Derry team than the team that played in the 2-2. Michael Duffy's back, Patrick McElhenney's back to his best as well, and they're a real, real threat, and there's just so much confidence, and the atmosphere will be, as I say, it will be brilliant on Friday night. So it's very hard to see Harps getting anything out of the game. If they are to get something out of the game, you'd gladly take a draw now, but if we are to do that, we need to make sure we score first, and we need to be fancy very good in the night, because they are flying and they're creating chances and they're scoring goals, and you know, the big result against Shamrock Rovers up there in the cup, and then follow that up with another big performance and big result against St Pat's, and you know, they're really pushing Shamrock Rovers hard for the league, and it's very hard to see them not getting to the final of the FAI Cup on top of that. So their momentum's going really good. They've all the key players back, fitting well, and everybody seems to be in good form there. So it's going to be a very, very difficult match for Harps.
Yeah, you mentioned about Harps there, Declan, having to score first if they're going to get something out of the game. What you're saying then, you're not expecting a 0-0 here, so you're not?
No, I'm not. I'm expecting goals. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting goals, because I just feel, watching Derry in the last while, they're free-flowing. They have the real quality at the top end of the pitch, and then they can make substitutions. they bring an extra quality as well, just when the game starts getting a wee bit stretched. Just have that squad, and you know they've really pushed on. Whether it's through started very well in the season, went through a tricky patch, but since that they've pushed on really well, and as I said, their form is really good. So it's very, very difficult. I think there will be goals in the game. I just can't see Derry not scoring two goals against that Van Harps team at the minute, and so Harps are going to have to score a couple of goals to get anything out of the game.
Yeah, is McWood's a big blow then to Ollie Horgan, because if Harps are going to get goals, he's your top scorer. Looks like he's going to miss maybe a handful of matches now with the hamstring injury picked up last week against Shales.
Yeah, he has. He was very good in the last home match as well, and caused real problems for Bowes, and we should have picked up 3 points, and his performance was very good in the first half, and you know, he was the key to that good first half performance. Hamstring again, so he obviously has a problem with his hamstring. That's twice this year he's been injured with his hamstring, and you know, it didn't look too serious at the time, but when he's come dragging off on his hamstring, and especially the kind of player that he is, he's very explosive, so his hamstrings are key to that speed, and especially under Brandy, we'll probably have to soak up a lot of pressure, and there, you know, with that pressure, you need to relieve that pressure by putting balls in behind Derry's back four and get runners into that space in front of them, and he would have been key to holding the ball up and using his pace in behind the back four to try to stretch the play as much as possible. But yeah, so he's going to be a key miss. Who will come in and replace him would be interesting to see. I would say Mihaljevic would probably end up going up centre forward, and he had a really good performance in the 2-2 draw up in Brandywell and scored as well. So hopefully, you know, we need everybody firing and all strong. A really big performance from our key and experienced players if we were to get anything in this game.
Yeah. You expect Ollie Horgan, obviously, like the way he does, to keep things tight. And you mentioned that Harps need to score first. What if Derry score first? Will it open the whole thing up, will it, Declan?
Yeah, that's the difficult thing when you're defensively set up and you set a wee bit deeper and you have a low block on it, and suddenly then you have to change your tactics after you go a goal down, and you have to be a wee bit of a threat going forward. And then once you start going forward and leaving gaps, that's when the pace and the experience and the skill of the Derry's front three will cause you a real problem. So it's a difficult one, really, really difficult one. And probably, you know, I know we are defensively set up. Molly sets our teams up very defensively at times, and they probably will do as well in the Brandywell on Friday night. But, you know, that's you have to score first to get any chance of getting anything out of this game. And if Derry score first, it could be a long night for Finn Harps.
Yeah. Just staying on that derby, if Derry were to win, they'll close the gap to Shamrock Rovers. I think they might have to play again, do they, before the end of the season, Declan. So can you see Derry catching Rovers at the top?
Difficult to see. Shamrock Rovers came up and played Sligo Rovers in the showgrounds last weekend, and they were just terrific. They were absolutely brilliant on the night. The performance was top notch. Really comfortable 3-1 victory over Sligo Rovers. So, it's been difficult for Shamrock Rovers playing two games per week, and with the intensity of the European adventure that they're on as well. But their performance last week was top notch. And so I'm expecting them not to drop too many points. I suppose from a Derry's perspective, they've got to keep the pressure on. And can they bring it, you know, into the second last game of the season up into Tala? And that could be an opportunity to grab 3 points on the night and maybe go leapfrog Shamrock Rovers, or bring it into the last game of the season, which would be terrific for all supporters in the League of Ireland to see that going to the last game. But Derry have matched them a whole way. You know, they have a really big season, obviously, but I just can't see Shamrock Rovers dropping too many points between now and the end of the season. And if it does come down to the big game in Tala and the second last game of the season, I'd be surprised if Shamrock Rovers don't pick up a draw, at least on that match.
Yeah, that's the second last game of the season. Harps obviously have UCD in their second last game of the season, so that's going to be a massive weekend in the Premier Division at both ends of the table. As we head towards that, Declan, there's no sort of safety net for Finn Harps here at the moment. They're fighting it out with UCD. UCD are bottom of the table. They've got Sligo Rovers on Friday night, but given Sligo's up and down form, and particularly how they've played recently, the students will be thinking to themselves that this is a game that they can get something out of.
Yeah, and their performances against Sligo Rovers in the three games so far have been very good, and they've beaten them twice. And I think they drew as well up in the Belfry, in the bowl the last time they were up there. So, you know, they've picked up 7 points against Sligo Rovers so far. So they will be going out full of confidence that they can turn Sligo Rovers. John Russell will obviously have different ideas, and he will be looking to get 3 points and push them on a wee. But he knows that last week's performance, the Shamrock Rovers showed real quality, and they'll be looking to show an extra quality and better quality against Tuesday and get 3 points, because, you know, if you're playing against teams and you want to be pushing high up into European places, even though that's probably a step too far for them at the minute, but they'd be looking to get 3 points up there. So that'll be an interesting game. Michael Gallagher got sent off last week for UCD, so he misses out in the game as well. So he will be a miss. But the students have been very good, and they're very difficult to play up there. So we found that out earlier when they beat us 2-1 as well. So, yeah, listen, it's going to be a big weekend. And you mentioned it, like, I mean, we've got Derry City away. We've done Dock away after that. We're away to Bowes. Home to UCD and the second last match of the season, and then we're away to Drogheda United. So, you know, 5 massive games for Van Harps and for UCD as well. So it will probably go down to the last game of the season.
Yeah, looks like it. Listen, Declan, as always, time has beaten us. Thanks for joining us here tonight in The Score.
Lovely job. Thanks, man. Awesome.
There you go. That's Declan Boyle. And Declan, of course, will be on commentary tomorrow night for that game. Full live match commentary from the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, Derry City against Finn Harps tomorrow evening here on Highland. The game starts at 7:45. We'll be live from 7:40 with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle tomorrow evening. As for the other games, as mentioned in that piece, UCD have another crucial match as well against Sligo Rovers. While Dundalk play St Pat's, Bohemians are up against Drogheda United, and Shamrock Rovers, who are in European action tonight, they are taking on Shelburne in the league on Sunday. Now, it's also a huge weekend on the Gaelic Games front, with Junior A&B and Senior A&B County Finals to be played. And we'll also have live commentary from the Donegal Junior and Senior deciders on Saturday and Sunday right here on Highland. St Eunan's, of course, take on Neave Connell in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Championship Final in Ballybuffet at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. I'll be on commentary along with former Dr. Maguire winners, 3-time winner as a player and once as a manager, Brendan Kilcoyne, and 4 times winner as a player with Kilcar, Martin McHugh, will be joining me in our commentary position. Now, last November, St Eunan stopped Neave Connell, making it 3 in a row after a first half goal from Owen McGeehan sent the Cathedral Town side on their way to victory. This time around, the Fintown Glenties men will be looking to halt a double for the Letterkenny club. Both sides have their injury concerns, with Peter McAnuff a doubt for St Eunan's with a hand injury and playmaker Ethan O'Donnell a concern for Glenties. Now, before we hear from both camps, let's get the neutral view now with Gary McDade, 3-time winner of the Dr. Maguire Cup with Glen Swilly. So, Gary, yet another Donegal County Senior Championship decider this coming Sunday. And going in the local press and the back page of the Democrat today, there is 12 men who give their verdict on the team. 11 of the 12 have gone with St Eunan's. In 11 months, nearly 12 months, it's flipped round from where it was last year, because if we go back to last year, it was Neave Connell that were the raging hot favourites. This time, it's St Eunan's, and I suppose it's a case of don't be writing the underdog off.
Yeah, a year's a short time in football, Harkin, and that's for sure, because Neave Connell were talked about possibly the best ever team that came out of the club, the team that came out of Donegal last year, and they were going for that 3 in a row, so they were possibly making a big dent in Ulster. And this year, Eunan's are going for a back-to-back, and the word on the ground is that they're going to be the team that's going to make a big dent in Ulster. So talk about just a flip of the coin. 11-1, I can see why it is 11-1. I think that Eunan's have just drove on so much and have improved so much by far of all the teams in Donegal, whereas Glenties maybe are, you know, they failed to reach their own height in that final last year, and we haven't seen them this year get anywhere near the level that they were playing at last year. So it's justified, I suppose, you know, looking from the outside in. But then also, flip it around, it's perfectly set up for an ambush for Glenties as well. So it nearly reminds me of ourselves in 2016. Like, you know, we were completely written off against Kilcar in that final as well. And you know, they're going to love the build-up this week. So they are, they're just come written off at all quarters. And the experience they have is now as if they're a new team coming in here. Like, it's their sixth final in a row. And I think it's the sixth final I read somewhere recently between the two teams as well. And, you know, it's a phenomenal record. So they're going to have no nerves, no fear coming in here on Sunday. And, you know, sometimes a team like that is very, very dangerous.
Yeah. 111 to 4 points was how it finished last year. Are you expecting a tighter one this time around, Gary?
I'm sure Martin Regan and his main group of players and his coaching staff would have analysed that video in the depths of winter upside down and realised, you know, the 4 points is not enough. If you remember, a couple of years ago, they lost the final to Kilcare and they scored something similar, and they kind of changed their traction then. I think we'll see that they're going to have to come with a more offensive game this week. I mean, they have the men to cause bother. So they have. There's a lot of talk after the St. Junan's Kilcare game last week that Junan's are possibly vulnerable with the high ball into the full back line. Well, Glendies have the men to hurt them there. You know, you've Charles McGinnis, Leo McLoon, of course, who missed the semi-final against Guidoor. They'll be hoping to God that he gets back. That's two men in the six-foot bracket that are well able to contest for the high ball in there. And the edge of square, and of course, we all remember when Glendies pipped Unions a couple of years ago in the final, it was a high ball in, and of course, it was nearly like the ghost goal, I think they called it, that Leo got the ball in ahead of Sean Patton for the net. So, you know, there's going to be lots of swings and roundabouts within the 60 minutes or 70 minutes off the game. And, you know, I think the two boys inside are going to have a major influence in the game. And I think Glendies, and they would have had 2 weeks, you know, and they would have been looking to work in their own game probably the first week. And I'm sure this week they'll be looking at, you know, where they can find weak spots in the Unions team. And you know, with men like Charlie McGinnis and Neil McLoon inside, you know, they're going to try and utilise them. And they have to utilise them because they have to score more than 4 points in the county final.
It's difficult to win back-to-back Dr. Maguire, so does Gary. It's something that wasn't achieved in Glen Swilly, and maybe apart from St. Union's winning the 3 in a row, they've never done a back-to-back. Niamh Connell have done a back-to-back. It's a difficult thing to do, so it is.
It's wild hard. I remember we won in 2013. We came back to the final in 2014, and Union's actually beat us in the final. And, you know, hindsight's great now looking back, but they just had that wee bit of more hunger and wee bit more freshness and, you know, and being neighbours as well, you know, it gives them an extra spur. So it did, and I think, you know, that this time they just seem such a good hunger about them. So they do. You know, I really find it hard to look past them, and you know, and I think if they do get over the line on Sunday, you know, that they will give Ulster a good run. I just think they have so much energy over the field, so they have, and they've so much legs over the field, and but, you know, with the likes of David O'Hurley and Rory Cavanagh there, you know, they've done a superb job in developing the team over the last 12 months. And, you know, when I look at their bench, like, it's ridiculous. Like, they could possibly put a team out who could compete in the Intermediate Championship and give it a hell of a rattle. So they got their second team. When I look at the bench, you know, the likes of Kieran Tobin, Brian McIntyre, Owen Dowland. You know, like Owen Dowland and Kieran Tobin were mainstays in the county under 20, this team. Like, Clyde McGettigan wasn't due to start last weekend. He started instead of Conor O'Donnell Jr., who they'll be hoping to God that he gets over the line. Huge loss for them in the semi-final last week, but has been probably playing his best club football to date. Has always done well, maybe for Donegal in underage teams and that, and has now starting to produce that. I'll say it's definitely his best year to date in a Union's jersey for the club. You know, Conor Morrison on the bench as well at the weekend. Sean McVeigh, I was talking to someone during the week, has possibly gone for his 5th senior championship medal. So he is, you know, and he's a mainstay of the team there. So he has the last number of years. So where you flip that around, you have the Niamh Connell team, you know, some of them are going, the likes of Marty Boyle and the Brick and Leo and that are going, and Anthony Thompson going for their 6th championship medal. So talk about experience between the two sides. You know, I mentioned Peter Devine there. You know, Kilcare took the sweeper off him last week, so they did. And he really punished him. So he did. Like, he asked serious questions of him. I can see Niamh Connell learning from that and not letting Peter Devine have the space to dictate the play as he did last week.
Yeah. You obviously mentioned Conor O'Donnell Jr., who's hoping to be fit and well for the final. Peter McInniff, it's going to come maybe too quick for him to be ready. He, of course, came off with a hand injury in that semi-final one over Kilkear, and he's seen as a major doubt, and looks like he may not make the final this weekend. But from an Eve Connell point of view, Ethan O'Donnell, there's a big question mark over Ethan O'Donnell as well. A hugely key member of this Neve Connell side and the half-back line. And when he breaks those lines and when he runs, he can really, really punish you. How weakened would Neve Connell be if Ethan O'Donnell is not available on Sunday, Gary?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, when you compare Ethan to Peter, it's a very good comparison. Two players that are very instrumental to their team. And I would agree with you wholeheartedly that Ethan's probably one of the main men, like, you know, and the Neve Connell is probably in the top one or two players that they need to be going well every day. And I don't think they have an able replacement. No, yes, it's very hard to have an able replacement of a player of that quality to slip in there. The good thing for Ethan is that he's had 2 weeks. That would be a real concern now if he only had the 7 or 8 days like last weekend. And I'm sure he's been to every cryotherapy and every ice bath and every burn and every river and every part of the sea over in Yarn and Port New and what have you, Oisin, in the last fortnight to try and get himself right. I would say, Oisin, you know, we'll see him togged and whatever he can give at the weekend he'll give, because it's a county final and county finals don't come around. So it's just not an ordinary game. You know, people say it's an ordinary game, but it's a county final, Oisin, and the prize is massive. You know, it's life changing. You know, to get the opportunity to win an Ard Dr. McGuire, and the same for Peter McInniff. You know, I would know Peter a lot better having coached him here in the college and coached him an underage with Donegal, and that he has just the heart of a lion. And I know the word was that he was carrying. He got injured in the warm up, and he just had the determination and steel to play the game. He wasn't giving up a semi-final, and I know that sheer determination and grit that he has, that I'd be highly, highly surprised not to see him togged on Sunday. So, but if he doesn't make it, you know, talk about an able replacement. Kieran Tobin, the captain of the county under-20s, another fella who know extremely well. And to me, Oisin, I would really rate Kieran as possibly the best man marker across their whole defenders. And, you know, someone who I would earmark who has massive potential to go on and play for Donegal as a man marking cornerback. You know, when you look at the likes of Paddy McGrath that have stepped aside now, we're not exactly blessed with these man marking cornerbacks, and he's a man who I know Wells could come through the college here and have a coach him in the summer then in Boston.
Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the football over the weekend.
Okay, Oisin, thank you.
This is the sixth final meeting between the two clubs. St Eunan's currently edging it with 3 wins. St Eunan's Conall Dunn has been telling Ryan Ferry that they had to refocus quickly for the final after last week's semi-final win.
The buzz is probably fairly fresh for ourselves. I mean, we were obviously just focusing on Kilkear up until, I suppose, 2 days ago. So we're probably just at this stage now trying to refocus ourselves now towards Neve Connell. You know, after a good win like that, I suppose the feelings are, you know, the emotions are high. But now I suppose it's about coming down from that high and refocusing towards Neve Connell.
Yeah, St Eunan's, of course, were county champions last year with what would have been considered at the time a very young panel. You're back in the final. How have the team evolved over the last 12 months?
There's probably a bit more confidence within the team and leadership and leaders within the team, which is great. I suppose as a team gets older and more experience, that probably comes with a bit of age. So that's probably the main thing that I can see from the team. Obviously, just working with the current management, you can see an evolution in certain players and how tactically aware and of their role within the team. So it's certainly pleasing to see the evolution of certain players.
And we saw the last day the impact that the likes of Sean McVeigh and Kieran Tobin had off the bench. And they are quality players who were big parts of the team last year. Like, they're going to be pushing hard. And I would imagine as a management team, there'll be a few things to ponder this weekend.
Every week in training, you can see there's definitely bite there coming in even for these last, even for the maybe the last league or round robin championship game, quarter final, semi final. There's changes have been made for every single one of those games. There's, I suppose, it's horses for courses, and you know, Rory, I suppose, has picked a team according to who we're playing in that any given weekend, and who's maybe best suited to it, and how boys are going to train. And there's a number of factors there. It's not just one factor. And often, you know, a player could be left off for entirely that reason, maybe to finish a game with a bit of intensity, I suppose. So there's a number of reasons there as to why that's those decisions are made. But it's very, the squad, it is a squad game now, and you know, ourselves and Niamh Connell, I suppose, if you look at their squad as well, that's probably the main difference between ourselves, Niamh Connell, and maybe some of the other teams, is we probably do have a bigger pool, a bigger squad, that you have that strength and depth.
You got the better of Niamh Connell in last year's final. I suppose, you know, it was a day when maybe things didn't go right for them. Perhaps that had a lot to do with yourselves and your performance on the day. But, you know, they're coming back 12 months later, and they may feel they have a point to prove.
Yeah. Listen, I've been there myself. I've gone into finals where we were the raging hot favourites like they were last year, and sometimes just when the tide's against you, it just doesn't go your way. And probably for Niamh Connell, I would say that's really what happened to them last year. Nothing really went their way, and before they knew it, they were 5 or 6 points down at half time, and they were probably just pushing against the wind really in the second half. It didn't go their way. Their heads went down. So I have no doubt that what that will do for them is their hunger is bound to be a lot higher. So we need to be very wary of that. You know, they're such a consistent and experienced side now. You know, I have to say, like, you know, maybe years ago when you were younger and you were playing against some of the lads, you had a serious competitiveness against them. But as you get older, probably you do have to respect what they've done. And I have nothing but admiration and respect for a lot of those Niamh Connell lads, the way they keep coming back again. And obviously they're littered with quality throughout the pitch. So, I mean, we're under no illusions. It's going to be another huge performance will be needed this Sunday. And I suppose obviously with the quick turnaround time as well, that's another factor that's probably going to go again. You know, it's certainly to our disadvantage as opposed to Niamh Connell, who've had the 2 weeks recovery. So that's something that probably needs to be factored in as well. You know, a team coming in waiting on the long grass like they maybe are, and with the quality and experience they have, we just need to be we need to get a recovery in this week and get very focused for another huge performance.
As mentioned, plenty of motivation in the Niamh Connell dressing room, but plenty of motivation in the St Mirren's one as well, to retain the Dr Maguire Cup, and also it opens the door back into Ulster, and I'm sure your young players would love another crack at that.
Absolutely. I mean, not many teams have done a back-to-back, and it does take something. You know, it takes a mental edge and a serious steely determinedness to do a back-to-back championships. So listen, we'll focus on Sunday. I suppose there hasn't really been any discussion whatsoever of anything past that within our camp. I mean, to be honest, we were up until 2 days ago, as I say, it was just Kilcar. So we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. We know what Niamh Connell are going to bring to the table. So we're very much focused on next Sunday.
And selector St Union's Conal Dunn speaking to Ryan Ferry. Let's hear now from the men who have been involved in quite a few finals over the last couple of years. Niamh Connell manager Martin Regan is leading his side into what is a sixth senior decider in a row.
Yeah, look, it is. It's one to be proud of. County finals are not easy got to, so to make so many in such a short space of time it's something to be proud of, right? But look, at you want to put your best foot forward and see can you get success in the county final day. It's not a nice place to be when you're on the beaten team either, so it's hopefully we'll put our best foot forward and give ourselves a chance on Sunday now.
Yeah, it's been a tough championship for you. Like it hasn't been straightforward. You know, you had a big game against Glenswilly in your first championship game. You drew that, and then you know you had to go down to the Bridge and get St Michael's. You had Gweedore at home in your final group game, and then you've had to beat Glenswilly and Gweedore again, two teams that you'd already met, and you know everything that comes along with that. So it's been a tough enough passage through to the decider.
Yeah, it has. Look, it has been tough and it's been different. I suppose other years you have the group stages and, you know, you can be kind of nearly even easing yourself in, kind of fairly confident you'll make a quarter final. That wasn't the case for us this year at all. You know, from that very first day, obviously with the side of the draw we ended up in, we knew we were going to get tough games. And when we drew that first day against Glenswilly, it was at, you know, a championship kind of came early for us, and that it was close to knockout in our eyes. We'll go into that Killybegs game in the second game, that we felt if we lost that, not knowing who we were getting in round three, round four, it could have been very difficult. You know, you could have been sitting on 1 point after three games and maybe needing results to go in your favour then to qualify. So it was near, we were treating it as knockout from that second game on the group stage, which is different to what how you've been approaching group games all the years. So it made it difficult, and you know, you're kind of forcing boys in that are carrying knocks. It was hard to rest and things like that there. So it was hard, it was a tough few weeks, but you know, once we got that result down in Michaels, it took a wee bit of pressure off then for the next two or three weeks. We had the week off after the Gweedore game, so I suppose we got a bit of work done them two or three weeks. All right.
Yeah, I suppose it's interesting that you play a St Union's team, you know, who beat you in last year's final. I think it was 111 to 4 points. Everybody was anticipating a much closer game than that. Have you gone over that footage much over the last 12 months? Is it something you've looked at and thought, well, we could have worked a bit better here, or we could have corrected this?
Yeah, I suppose this last couple of weeks, more so than this last 12 months, you know, it's been difficult to watch, and it's always a difficult watch when you're beaten so comprehensively beat. It was hard, it was a few months before I was fit to turn it back on again, but I suppose as we got closer to championship this year, and we got closer to playing St Union's again this year, it is something that you think about, and you do have a look at that game last year, and that along with other games from this year as well, you know, there's slight differences in both teams again this year as well, so it will be a different game at the same time. They're not the two exact same teams, there's differences in both sides, but look, it is something you refer back to definitely, and something you see, can we close that gap? But as you said, it was 10 points last year, and I think the Unions have probably got stronger this year. They've new additions into their team, they're better set up there, and they were well set up last year, but they've, you know, they've gone to the next level this year, so look, we have a lot of ground to make up, and we feel we may have improved, but time will tell on Sunday whether we've closed the gap enough to make it close.
Yes, and Union's had a big victory over Kilcar last Saturday evening. What did you make of it?
Yeah, very impressed with St Union's. I thought, you know, 2 points in the end, but I thought they were much better than that there. I think Rory made reference to themselves. They were 6 points up before half time and should have got a free in to put them 7 up. You know, it's a completely different complexion on the scoreboard half time, 7 points as opposed to 3. They could have kicked on and won that game much easier in the second half. But I thought even the start of the second half poorly, and you know, Kilcar got back level, but I thought the way Unions responded after that was a credit to them. You know, people may have said in the past it was never put up to them, and how would they respond when it's put up to them? Because we didn't put it up to them in the final last year. They haven't had a tough this year. But, you know, to go from 6 points up to level against Kilcar, we've seen what happened last year in the group stages against Kilcar when Kilcar came back at them. They maybe wilted a wee bit, but to see how they kicked on from that there, they're, you know, it's just another string to their bow that the, you know, no matter how tough it is, they can find another gear. And I thought that was the way they responded after Kilcar got level. A lot of other teams would have crumbled or would have folded after throwing away a 6 point lead against Kilcar, but Unions just found another gear and found another way of getting over the line, and I thought they were really, really impressive there.
And just finally, looking at your team, you know, they've been in county finals before, they have medals, they've been beaten in finals. Do you still see that burning desire in them to prevail and get that silverware this weekend?
Yeah, big time. They're as hungry as they ever were. And I don't think it's necessarily just because they lost last year, but they're an ambitious bunch. And I suppose the older players are getting closer to the end of their careers, and they want to make the most of that there. And then the younger players, I suppose they want to make the most of them boys when they're still there. So look, there's a huge hunger there, a huge desire there to get over the line on Sunday. And we've really seen it the last few weeks. They've really kicked on in training, and they're all putting their best foot forward for a starting jersey.
That's Martin Regan. Once again, that match, the senior decider at 4:30, St Union's against Neve Connell, live here on Highland this coming Sunday afternoon. Before that, at 2:15, it is the reserve final, the senior B decider, with the two clubs also meeting as well. And there is a preview with Logan Quinn of Neve Connell and Eddie Blake of St Union's available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com, as they look ahead to that game. Now, Letterkenny Gaels and Cairn Donagh will face off on Saturday afternoon in the Donegal Junior Championship final at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Dermot Doherty and Gary McDade will have full match commentary here on Highland from the 3:30 start. The winner will make the rise into the Intermediate Championship next season. Letterkenny Gaels have lost two finals in recent years, including the defeat to Downing's last year. Gaels captain Conor Brown says they have a point to prove.
Yeah, unfinished business, that's what you call it. We didn't turn up last year in the final, so we've a point to prove this year when we play Cairn Donagh now in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. So was it hard to get going?
It was. It was very difficult to get everybody back on the horse again to go again. But, you know, once the league started and we got a few kind of results at the start of the league, and then we kind of fell away a wee bit, and then we got everyone to buy back into it again. And we went at it, and since then, you know, performances have upped.
You were playing in Division 2 of the league. That was a historic first for you, up that level.
It was, and it was a big change. You know, we probably underestimated how difficult it was going to be at the start. You know, we came up against some very good teams like, you know, Neath Columba. We played them in the first game, and they're in an intermediate final now, and they really showed us that, you know, it wasn't going to be an easy league. We had the upper game.
Yeah. Dunloe in the final as well, and you got a result against them in Dunloe, which was a big one, wasn't it?
We did. We needed to win the last game down in Dunloe to avoid a relegation playoff. So, you know, we went down there and we had to get the result. And thankfully, we came away with the right result on the day. But, you know, Dunloe are a very good team, so it was good to get the 2 points on the board then.
What was the defining moment? Was that a defining moment, maybe?
Well, it probably was, yeah. If you had been staring down a relegation playoff coming into the championship, you know, you would have that hanging over your head all championship. So you probably wouldn't have been, you know, maybe as comfortable going into a couple of games at the start, you know, to get your feet on under you. You know, we wanted to stay up in Division 2. That was one of the goals at the start of the year. So to have that box ticked off early on without a relegation playoff was very good.
Yeah, and did that help fellas maybe come back as well or give a bigger commitment?
Well, I think at that stage, you know, a lot of boys had bought back in, you know, when we were back. Everyone was kind of back training hard, so you know, I wouldn't say that made everyone buy back in, but it really gave us the belief that, you know, if we committed hard now for another couple of weeks, we'd give this championship a rattle.
And you have new management this year as well, Dougie Corbett and Paul Malaw.
Yeah, Dougie and Paul came in there at the start of the year, you know, and since we've got everybody back training and you've numbers back, you know, they've been a breath of fresh air, really. You know, it's lifted the whole team and, you know, everyone had a fresh slate. Like, there's boys playing now that maybe didn't get a chance for one reason or another beforehand that are now playing well in the senior team, so that's good to see.
And Conor McBurty is back as well. He was away for a while, wasn't he?
Conor was away for a few months.
And Darren was away as well, was he?
Darren's back as well, yeah. It's good to have them kind of boys coming back into your squad. Like, you know, they really, that kind of talent really lifts everyone else around them.
You're playing Cairn Donagh. What do you know of them?
Well, we've played Cairn a lot now over the last few years. They beat us heavily down in Cairn Donagh last year in the group stage of the championship. So, you know, they're going to be a very good side, and they have some very good players. They're going to take a lot of watching now to get over the line.
And you beat them this year as well, though, didn't you? Or you beat them this year in the group stages?
We beat them by a couple of points in the group stages this year at home in the Glebe. It's hard to know what way the game's going to swing, but, you know, if we perform to the way we know we can, we should hopefully get over the line.
It's basically a very experienced team at this stage.
Yeah, you'd call them experienced, but we're not old.
With experience, not old, but experience, you know, in football terms.
We were very young there for a lot of years, but now, like, you know, I've been playing senior football now for nearly 10 years and I'm still only 26 or 27, like, so, you know, you get your chance young, but, you know, these years keep slipping in, so we really need to get over that junior hurdle and get on to the next.
So this will be your third final, will it?
It will, yeah, third final, so hopefully this is the one where we can finally get up into third time
lucky.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You know, the old score from last year is that you didn't turn up on the final day.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we didn't show up. We didn't perform at all. You know, to only kick 3 points in a county final it's never going to win you a game. So that's just the real thing.
Is there less hype this year than last year?
I don't know about that now, but, you know, as a club, it's been our objective for the last maybe 5 years that we have to win a junior title, and we haven't got over that line yet, so it's still always going to be there until we do it, so it's up to us to get over the line this year.
Have you a good feeling?
Listen, it's football, anything can happen, but hopefully if we turn up and perform to the best of our abilities, hopefully we'll get over the line.
That's Letterkenny Gael's Conor Brown. And Karen Donagh, of course, are back in the decider for the first time since 2008. Ryan Kelly's performances and goals from midfield has been crucial for Karen's run to the decider. Kelly is also the captain of the NSHO side, and he's been telling Tom Comack that it's an honour to lead them out on final day.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to it myself, and it's a great honour, surely, to be captain of the side for... because we haven't been in a final now since 2008, so it's a great honour for me to be captain and leading the team in the final.
You remember 2008?
I was at that game, but I can't remember too much from it now. There's a couple of boys on the panel at the minute, Conor Dock and Ryan Davenport, that were on that panel that day, but no, I can't remember too much from it now.
There was great expectation about that team, that it probably would go on and maybe do well in intermediate, but it didn't happen.
We've been a club over the years that have been hit bad with immigration and things. You know, after that final, I think a lot of boys emigrated, maybe went to college and never made the trip home for games and things then. So it was on a high, and then it just came down too quickly then. It just crashed. So we kind of struggled to go on from that end.
You had a great year last year in Division 4, won Division 4, and were highly fancied in the championship to do well.
Last year, you know, we were unlucky against Downing. You know, we just didn't perform on the night. And we had a great league campaign. I think we went undefeated in the league last season. Yeah. And Downing's beat us in the semi-final. We just didn't perform in the night, but we knew this season if we just went that wee step further, we could get to the final. We have done that, so it's up to us now to perform.
Coming a little bit under the radar this year, because you had a kind of a different league, hadn't you?
Yeah, like we were saying on side there, we've been really struggling all season with injuries, you know, to six or seven regular starters, and
You were among them.
I was one of them as well, yeah. So, you know, it's hard for a club like ours to be missing that many people from the starting 15 to really build a good league campaign. But we've really started to get them back now at the right time, you know. So I think we're almost at full strength. So,
Conor O'Donnell came back at the weekend. Well, he came back against Doris as well for the quarterfinal. Started his first game last week in the semi-final.
I mean, Conor showed us, we all know how good a player Conor is. Like, you know, we've known that for a few years now, but I think the rest of the county are probably just starting to notice now how good he really is. He came on against Doris, won the game, I think it was maybe level, and he scored 3 or 4 points almost in 10 or 15 minutes. So, and you know, other teams are aware of him too. Like, you know, he's a class act. He's a great player. Yeah.
Getting among the goals yourself, I don't know if it's a record, but you've scored a lot of goals from midfield.
In fairness, I've been in the right place at the right time. The boys have put it on a plate for me. Like, you know, they've done all the hard work. I just had to put the ball in the back of the net at the end of the day. So,
you seem to be able to ghost into that full forward position. Is that a plaque tactic, or do you just do it off the cuff?
No, I just do it off the cuff. Sometimes I just take a wee drift forward. If I see the space in front of me, I'll go under it and maybe try and time my runs and get on the end of things.
Yeah. Playing the Letterkenny Gaels now, playing a team that were in the final last year, didn't turn up and are hurting, so I'm sure they're going to be up for it.
Yeah, no, we're very aware of that. Like, they've lost a couple of finals now, and they really didn't perform in last year's final from what I heard, so they've definitely got a point to prove. We'll be very aware of that now, definitely.
But what's the mood in Cairn? Is there much activity about it, much excitement now since the weekend?
Great buzz, you know, it was a great buzz even after winning the semi-final there. You know, we don't be in this situation too often. The majority of our squad actually play hurley as well, and they were in a hurling final in O'Donnell Park earlier on in the year, and they were beat. So that's still hurting for a lot of them boys as well. I wasn't part of that myself, but you know, they'll be dying to go out to O'Donnell Park now and hopefully get over the line in this final.
Yeah, and of course, Dad Parry, part of the management team as well, Parry Kelly.
Yeah, it's good to have Dad around. Like, you know, Dad's been going to the games ever since I've been part of the squad, and he was always encouraged to try and take part, but he never did. But Padraig convinced him a couple of years ago, and he's been on board now as well, so that's great to have him around.
So the management team are working together well together, aren't they?
Brilliant. So as like Chucky's player manager, so if Chucky is playing, you need
Padraig.
So if he's playing, you need somebody along the line to run things, you know, and you've got McFaller and Paul Newman and Jared Kinnego, so you've got three good men there in the sideline to kind of sort things out when Chucky's playing, you know.
And we heard James McMoneagle saying there already that if you were to win it, it'd be like a Gareth Gooch concert for 3 or 4 days.
He's probably right, in fairness. It'd be a huge deal for the club. It wouldn't be far off a 5-day Gareth Brooks concert, if I'm being honest now. It probably wouldn't be far off.
So looking forward to it.
The whole town's looking forward to it, especially our dressing room. Like, we all know how big of an occasion it is, and hopefully we can get a big crowd up for it as well.
That's Ryan Kelly. A Junior B final on Saturday is at 1:30 between Letterkenny Gaels and Niamh Fulton, and the Junior A decider between the Gaels and Carindonagh is at 3:30. There's also a Division 2 relegation final on this weekend in Donegal, with Red Hughes taking on Convoy. It's in Lifford on Saturday. The loser will be relegated to the Junior Championship. Now, the Donegal Harvest Stages Rally takes place on Saturday, and there'll be live updates here on Highland through the course of the day on Saturday. The event, which is the final counting rounds of both the Border Rally Championship and the National Rally Championship, is based out of Gardahark and runs stages in the Chrysler, Gardahark, Fulcara and Dunluey areas. The defending champion Callum Devine will return to the county in his VW Polo with number one on his car. Jason Devine will be a host of talented drivers like Sam Moffat, Declan Boyle, Robert Barabel and Eamon Kelly, just to name a few, while Kevin Geller and Kevin Eaves are the top seeds in the two modified sections. Armagh's Jason Black is in pole position to take the National Two-Wheel Drive Category Championship, and he's also a contender in the Border Championship as well. I've been looking ahead to the event this weekend with Donegal Motor Club Chairman Brian Brogan, and a man that knows a thing or two about winning the Harvest Rally, that's Rory Kennedy.
I suppose, Brian, first of all, we'll start with you, and it's good to have rallying back again in the county.
It's a big change, Oisin, thank God. From last year, we made a lot of preparations, everything worked very good for us last year. We're a wee bit more positive now at this point because we didn't know how things were going this time last year. We have 9 fantastic stages now, ready to rock here, first thing for Saturday morning, and I suppose mechanical scrutiny starts tomorrow at 4. We have 150 cars, should be running a full entry, I'd say, so... once we get that over, then we're off to an early start on Saturday morning for the 9 stages, which are when you're heading for you have Muckish, Derry Reel, Moneymore being, I suppose, the most challenging one, I'd say. A lot of work on it, 18K, so we're looking forward really to getting the first loop down and seeing how everything beds in.
Yeah. Tony Boyle's the COC. Tony and his team have put in a lot of work over the last number of months to get this one up and running, Brian.
That's right. Tony's a seasoned clerk of the course for us. He's been a clerk of the course now for a long time, so very, very capable, very able, and a very good team underneath him there, working hard. So I suppose we have to thank him, and then the sponsors, the Chap Billy, I suppose, Damien Horsky, for his great sponsorship. Without him, that wouldn't happen. And then the Gardaí and the council and HSE and ambulance services and all of the sponsors then had have done everything that they did through the programme and make it happen. And down in that part of the country, there are a lot of great businesses down there who love to support motorsport, and we're delighted to have them on board.
Yeah. And I suppose from the event point of view as well, having it as the closing counting round for the National Championship and the Border Championship is always a plus, Brian.
It is. It brings a lot of people from down the country. They like to travel up here, and they enjoy the Saturday. I think the Saturday is a big plus for us too, to be honest. They like to stay over the Saturday night and enjoy the Sunday as well. And Donegal being what it is, it's very welcoming too to everyone that does travel. So it all fits in very well at the end of the year.
Rory Kennedy's joining us as well. Rory, how many times have you won the Harvest?
I'm fairly certain I've won it twice. So I've seen the past once with the late great James McDade way back in almost 1988, I think it was, over in Glenties. We were fortunate enough to win with James, and then the one with Gary Jennings in 2011 when the rally
was based
in Redcastle. Yeah. So
you've got good memories of the Harvest Rally.
Very good. Actually, my first ever rally was the Harvest Rally, either the Hills of Donegal or the Harvest Rally. I'm not quite sure. When I was maybe 16 with my father and a wee Hillman Imp, and we finished third in the class. And ironically, I still have that trophy. So, you know, it was many years ago. We've been around a few corners since. But the Harvest Rally has very much become, you know, a fixture in the calendar for a lot of rally fans throughout the country. And, you know, down to the great work of Tony Boyle and his crew, you can't say enough about these people who give up their time to run these events. Their great work and Trojan work have put on another very good rally in it. As Brian said, like, the stages are very challenging, and it looks like it's going to be a very good day.
Yeah, you're taking a look. You've got the map in front of you there, Rory. You would know a lot of them roads well, because at some stage in your career, you were possibly sitting in a rally car and some of them roads. They're going to be testing for the competitors.
Okay, they're very testing. I've seen them roads up around Kildare, outside Chrysler, and Faymore, outside Dunfanaghy, over to Moneymore and Cashelnagore. They're very challenging stages for anybody. And, you know, even for the top drivers, like, it's going to be very close to the top. There's some very, very, most of the top drivers in the country are here. You know, when you've Callum Devine, Sam Moffat, Robert Barbell, Declan Boyle, and so on, that's a fabulous entry. And, you know, it's great to see that we've attracted that sort of a calibre of an entry. Yeah.
That's a sting in the tail, that last one, 18K. I was talking to Johnny Baird during the week. He says he's written more notes for that stage than he has for any other previously. And when it comes to the last loop, that can be a real sting in the tail.
Real sting in the tail, as you say, Oisin. We've done that stage in the past, going the opposite direction, and it proved very decisive for a lot of drivers back then, you know. But look, it's all part of what we have to offer here in Donegal. You know, we have some very fast stages. If you take, for example, in June when we do Donegal, we have the likes of Knockalla and we have Cairn Hill and so on, ultra-fast Garton, ultra-fast stages. These are a bit more technical and you'll find a bit more of a challenge, but really that's what rally driving's all about.
Yeah. What's it like having number one on the side of the car? Rory, you're the defending champion of the Harvest. You mentioned Garton there. Didn't go too good for Callum Devine and the June International. He'd be looking to make up for that and taste some sort of success again in Donegal.
Like I would say so, Washington. I mean, Callum was very unfortunate for what happened to him in Donegal. Like, he's just, like, they're very small margins, you know, and staying on the road and coming off and, you know, leaving your braking as late as that. And unfortunately, he got caught out. But look, that was June. This is October now. So I would say Callum, that's a distant memory in his mind now. He'll be here to reinstate, you know, that he's capable of winning these rallies. If Sam Moffat, he's going to be knocking on the door right behind him as well. Sam's in a World Rally Car Fiesta. But it has to be said, back in June in Donegal, Callum was in front of him in that, when Sam was in the World Rally Car as well. Yeah. So, you know, Robert Barbell and Paddy Robinson, very accomplished drivers as well there at number three. Declan Boyle, James O'Reilly, number four. Gareth McHale, who's past runner of the Donegal as well, number five. Gareth, Seamus Leonard, Aaron McHale, Joe McGonigal, Eamon Kelly, and Eamon just crowned British Junior Champion there 2 weeks ago.
That's right,
yeah. So it's brilliant to see Eamon here in the R5 car, and expect he'd put on a good performance too.
Yeah, and outside of that as well, Tim McNulty, man that's won before in Donegal, Aidan Ray, Stephen McCann, Michael Boyle. The list goes on there, so it does work.
Because on and on, it's an incredible lineup, you know. But I suppose, Oisin, really, you have to say as well, the rally's based over West Donegal or Northwest Donegal. Yeah. And there's a great fan base of rally people there, and a lot of supporters, and a lot of people who like to get out, you know, to have the rally in their own region. The motor club find when they go to these areas, they're welcome with open arms. And that's a huge, you know, a huge help when you're trying to put on an event like this. So fair play to Damien Whiskey and Jack Billy and the local sponsors. And let's hope for a good, safe day for everybody.
Okay, I'll go to the modified boys here with Brian, even though Brian's not competing. Kevin Geller and Kevin Eaves, Gary McPhillips and Desi Keenan in that order, I suppose the top four seeds in the two-wheel drive category, Brian. But it seems to be that Geller and Eaves are gonna go at it again. It's something that the spectators will be standing at the hedges and in the fields very much waiting on come the first stage on Saturday morning.
Yeah, there's no doubt this is where the real rally happens here, the modified. And I suppose you're looking at when you talk about the two Kevins there, they'll certainly be on a pace. There'll be no doubt certainly about that there. But the two Monaghan men now are seasoned campaigners too, and they have driven in different conditions. So I just wouldn't rule out any of that. Top four there will be very, very competitive. I look really forward to seeing who'll be first or thereabouts and at the end of the first loop. But again, it's nine stages. So there'll be a few other guys further back there too. We'll be saying something about it now. Paddy McHugh, Ed O'Callaghan, them guys will be there. And I suppose we needn't forget young Kevin McLaughlin, who is out on a very new venture this weekend, and we wish him the best of luck. He's jumping up to a high podium there. But I just wouldn't rule out some of the things that will happen with Kevin either now.
Yeah. One other guy we have to mention is from the county of Armagh. It's Jason Black and a Toyota started. He can actually win the outright two-wheel drive modified national and the border as well, so it's a big weekend for him, Bray.
Absolutely, a great driver, come on a lot in the last few years and a lot of rallying done, and listen, can drive in any conditions, fantastic young fella. It'll be interesting to see how he copes under the pressure, I suppose. It's the nine stages again, that'll make it that bit harder. This is probably as challenging a rally as was what has been done this year, and the conditions will be at all to play for, watching there in that regard.
And there is, of course, obviously Donegal men as well involved, Rory, and championship contention in a couple of different categories.
Yeah, I would like a shout out there as well to Michael Carbon and Dean O'Sullivan. Dean's from Convoy and here in Donegal, and Michael Carbon from Monaghan. They stand every possibility of finishing third overall in the Triton National Championship. They're battling out with Paul Barrett and Kevin Riley. Paul Barrett's the son of Kevin Barrett, who's the Triton Shares man in Ireland, who sponsors the championship. So a big battle between them, pair of boys, for third place in the championship. So it'll be interesting to see what that outcome is.
Yeah, we'll wait to see how the weekend pans out, Brian, but I suppose at the end of the day, it's all about having everybody involved, having an enjoyable and safe event, and for spectators that are in the county and those that are coming to the county.
Final is just very much about obeying the marshals, and if you do that, it means that everybody's going to have a safe event through the course of Saturday.
That's right, Oisin, yeah. Well, the majority of people now in Donegal know well how to conduct themselves and how that are coming and travelling, but I would just ask all that haven't had the previous experience of being in Donegal, if you're coming, just to obey the marshals and the officials at all time, and safety is paramount for Donegal Motor Club and everybody competing and all that's involved. So if you obey all the marshals and officials and the rules that are there and regulations, just look after one another the way you'd look after your own, it'll be an enjoyable day for everyone all round, I hope.
It's Brian Brogan and Rory Kennedy looking forward to the Harvest Stages Rally, which is taking place based out of Gort to Hark this coming Saturday. There will, of course, be coverage here on Highland throughout the course of the day. And that is it from The Score for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the programme. If you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap it on our website, highlandradio.com. That is it. What left of your Thursday. Enjoy it. Have a good one.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.